You've been listening to our podcast, Getting Educated, Regulating Your Emotional Reactions, and it's been really helpful. Yet you know you could do better, be better, and you're wanting and needing more support. That's where our coaching service is a game changer. We're here for you when you need us the most, ensuring you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you to be more effective. Our free rapid relief call helps you gain a broader perspective, commit to your best next steps, and determine what coaching support is right for you. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call today. Welcome to the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast, where we invite you into a journey of healing and personal transformation that will radically change your divorce experience, heal your heart while refining your character, and set you up to be effective and feel empowered as you navigate the practical and emotional challenges of divorce. I'm your host, Karen McMahon, founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. My divorce brought me to my knees, and it also transformed me and set me on this path to help you. Welcome to Karen Solos, your compass through the storm of high conflict divorce. Discover quick chats that are bound to ignite your curiosity, spark inspiration, and pave the way for transformative thinking and living. Are you eager to delve into a specific topic? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at admin@journeybeyonddivorce.com and we'll make sure to weave it into our upcoming episodes. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Karen Solos. Today, I'm talking to you about divorce and shared living spaces and navigating boundaries after you have been told or told your spouse you want a divorce. And while entering the high conflict divorce situation is tough, it becomes really challenging after that initial conversation where you have a lot of decisions to make. And the first one that I encourage my clients to think about is, what changes after you tell your spouse? And so if you've both been living in the master bedroom, what are the other options? And there's a ripple effect to all of these decisions. So I'm just going to walk you through as best I can some of the things I talk to my clients about. And so especially if you have decided and your spouse doesn't want a divorce, they're going to be resistant to any change. And the less change that happens once that conversation has been had, the easier it is for them to fall back into denial that this is happening. You're just having a bad week. You'll get over it. It's a phase. And if it's not talked about and if nothing looks different, it makes staying in that denial much easier. And so the first thing we want to look at is, what are your options? And at the same time, notice what emotions come up for you. So for some people, there is just no space. There's the master bedroom, there's the kids' bedrooms, there's no other common area. And so does mom or dad sleep on the couch? Does mom or dad sleep on the floor in one of the kids' rooms? I have heard and seen everything. Is there a basement or a playroom with a couch that can be converted? Is there an attic? As many of you know, I was in the attic for quite a number of years. Is there a guest bedroom? And so the first thing you want to look at is, what are the options? And I have clients who there are options and they still decide not to make that move. And so this is really a conversation to put all the possibilities on the table, and then you need to figure out what's best for you. And so what I will say is, if you have someone who's resistant to divorce and you're the one who's talking about it, the concept of dosing the divorce on a regular basis is really helpful, and starting with your living arrangements. So where are you going to sleep afterwards? If there's enough space, then there are more options. If there is a basement, an attic, a guest bedroom, someplace where you can have a door that you close and that you lock if you need to, and where you can actually move your personal property so that you no longer need access to the master bedroom, or they move their personal property and move so that you have a safe space in the master bedroom. So whatever that looks like for you, deciding what to do usually brings fear to the surface, especially if your spouse, your soon-to-be ex, is angry and hurt and doesn't want it and is pushing back. And this is the beginning of this journey. You've probably been in a relationship where the power imbalance has been quite obvious and maybe dramatic. And now you're taking a step. You, perhaps the lesser powered person up until now, might be making a stand. Or you may be in a situation where your high conflict spouse has told you they want a divorce. And so you're kind of dealing with that. Plus, how do I stay safe? Deciding to have a space of your own is a really valuable baby step in the direction of moving toward the divorce. It brings up a lot of fear. Notice the fear, notice the story, what might happen. And part of what comes up is you might not be ready to tell the children. And so that's just something that every couple has to decide for themselves. If you're sleeping in a different room than mommy or daddy, do you have to tell the children about the divorce? No. You can, if things have been difficult and with conflict, the children know that. And you can easily tell the children that, you know, mommy and daddy are taking a time out, that we're giving each other space. Like, there's a lot of different ways to address it with your kids without having to bring up the divorce if you're not ready to do that. And so that's another big issue that comes up. You've heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers. If co-parenting has been difficult this year due to your ex's alcohol abuse, you need SoberLink. How it works is simple. Your co-parent will test at scheduled times. Built-in facial recognition will confirm their identity. Tampa sensors will flag any attempts to cheat. And results will get sent instantly to your phone, so you know that your kids are with a sober parent. Lay the groundwork for brighter days ahead. Visit soberlink.com/JBD to learn more and get $50 off your device. Now, you might be able to not all live under the same roof. And so there's nesting, which we have a podcast on. It's in the show notes for you. And there's also the possibility that one of you will move in with a family member, a parent, a friend, or get your own place. And so there's a lot of variations. Today, I'm really talking about when everyone's living under the same roof together. The other thing is the common living area. So what do we do about that? And this is the beginning of having difficult conversations, probably with a lot of pushback, and starting to set boundaries around what you want and what's best for you. And if you're thinking, well, he or she wants this or that, and you're immediately just stepping on to what they want and their plan, I just want to point out that that's probably old familiar behavior and not great as you step into this new space. And so baby step by baby step, we're really wanting you to start developing new behavior, stepping outside of your comfort zone, thinking about what you want and why, and then standing and stating that and having boundaries when you can. So with the living space, a boundary could be they're not happy about it. They're going to come and go in the master bedroom or the guest bedroom, even though I'm asking them not to. And so that might require you to get a locksmith or go buy a lock and install the lock and actually uphold your boundary. Same thing with common living area. It may be that you want to propose something I had one client where they agreed to different nights where dad cooked with the kids and she wasn't around, and then she cooked with the kids and dad wasn't around. And so there's a tremendous amount of creativity and possibility. Again, I'll keep saying the more different life feels under your roof once you've had that conversation, the better for everyone. The kids start getting used to it. The resistant spouse has a harder time standing in denial and begins to move in the direction that you're moving in. And so you've got your sleeping arrangements, you've got your common living area. Another one is social interactions. Again, you might not be ready to tell everybody that this decision has been made. And yet, if you find yourself going out to dinners with couples or to parties together and making believe, only you can decide how healthy that is for you and how healthy it is for you soon to be ex. And so, again, if they're in resistance and your actions and words are different, if your words are, I want a divorce, and your actions are, let's go out with our friends and have a good time and act like we're a happy couple, that's not going to serve them. And it's actually not going to serve you either. And so, you want to just really slow things down enough to evaluate the choices that you're making and decide what's most important to you and where you can move the needle and do things differently. Another one is chores, like the laundry, like cleaning the house, like cooking meals and shopping. And so what does that look like under your roof during this time that you're together while heading toward divorce? And so deciding what you would like, how you have that conversation, and when you can set boundaries, setting boundaries and learning the skill of upholding and honoring your boundaries. And then the other one is kid time. And again, even though you may not be saying the D word yet, you can still begin to have time where dad's with the kids and mom's with the kids, or one parent and the other with the kids. And what that does is a lot of things. If you're the primary parent, it really gives you a chance to see how the other parent is. Do they take the time that they've agreed to? Are they working hard to maybe get better at something, especially if they've been the primary earner, that they may be doing some of the stuff for the first time? And so, what does that temporary shared parenting begin to look like, and how can you sit and think about and devise a plan that would be good? That would be good for the kids, that would be good for you, that would even be good for your soon-to-be ex. And so all of these different things come into play once you tell, and there's a lot of different pieces to it. The hardest part of all of this is the emotions that come up, and the ability to emotionally regulate, the ability to notice your mindset. And if you're in a constant fight or flight response, and how to start calming yourself down and paying attention to what you're doing and what you can do. And, you know, we have a Divorce 101 course that we're unrolling, and it goes into incredible detail on all of these pieces, talking to you about how to do these things and how to have the conversations and how to make these decisions and what might happen when you do and how to handle that. And so, if this is you, if you're in those early stages and you're about to tell, or you've just told, I really encourage you to sit down, look at your living arrangements, look at what's going on with the kids and time with the kids, look at the household chores and your social schedule, and you determine what is it that you want. Don't immediately think, well, let me find out what he or she wants. First, start with you. What do you want? What do you think would be good? Why do you think it would be good? And then how could you sit down and have this conversation with the other parent and begin to create a new way of being during this in-between stage where You've said you wanted a divorce. It's going to be a while before the divorce is final, and you're going to be living in this in between. So, how do you do that as best possible? I hope you found value. By all means, feel free to reach out, ask me to talk about any particular topic. And if you're interested in Divorce 101, you can find that at jbddivorcesupport.com/DIV101. And I'll be back again real soon with another episode of Karen Shorts. See you then.
You've been listening to our podcast, Getting Educated, Regulating Your Emotional Reactions, and it's been really helpful. Yet you know you could do better, be better, and you're wanting and needing more support. That's where our coaching service is a game changer. We're here for you when you need us the most, ensuring you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you to be more effective. Our free rapid relief call helps you gain a broader perspective, commit to your best next steps, and determine what coaching support is right for you. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call today. Thanks for joining us on the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast. I hope you found guidance and encouragement to help you along your journey. If you like my podcast, please take a minute to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. You can also visit us at jbddivorcesupport.com, where our team of coaches support both men and women through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources. Stay tuned for our next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.